Too comfortable in your seats. Why don't y'all stand up and welcome Papa Jack as he comes to bring the word. For those of you that don't know, this man is an incredible treasure, not just to us personally, but to the body of Christ. In the level of influence as a father he's given, you guys can have a seat. The level of influence that God has given him into the body of Christ as a whole, he's made him to be a father of fathers and mothers. And we certainly feel that and welcome that. And so as you guys are in this place this morning, get ready, because God is going to speak something new and fresh to you. I can promise you through it. So,
thank you, Pastor. It's good to be here. You expected me to say that? At my age, it's good to be anywhere. I'm just so happy to be. So it's good to be back here. Most of you know that I spent 20 of my greatest years in my whole life in this area at Castle Hills First Baptist Church. Saw God mightily move. Woke up this morning early, as I generally do, but especially this morning to really get in a channel. Felt like a wave was sweeping over me. And so I want you to know that I'm going to say some things that you can grab on to, and they're going to change your life. I'm not talking about just enjoying it. I'm long past that interest or impressing you. I've given that up for Lent. I don't need to do that. I want to bless you. I want to be a catalyst that happened to be there when you got blessed. And I have the growing sense that as we walk with him and really come to a relationship. And I think, by the way, I punched the button early while I was sitting there, and I'm to blame for all the extra noise a while ago. And I apologize for that. But I'm impressed with the fact that while many are having a battle with pride, more are having a problem with the other end, in which they expect too little of themselves and don't receive the fact that you have the power to bless others. That's why you're here. And you say, well, what all do I have to do? Just nothing. Just be yourself in Jesus. And he will make of you somebody that anybody can visit and walk away better than when they came to meet you. Would you like to be like that? Okay. Well, you can be. Now, there'll be a time when you'll be more needy than others, but that will be for a season, so God can get you to the place where you can be the blessing you could have been to yourself had you been where you are now. Well, you understand what I'm saying. So there are people in need here, in fact, like everybody here. And we have to learn to deal with need. Can I just share with you one little thing that just shocked me the other day? And I'm old, you know. I learned something new. If you think you know everything, you just learned the last thing you've ever learned. You'll be dumb for the rest of your life. You won't learn a thing. And I sort of live on things I'm learning every day. So I read a scripture that hadn't been there before. You have a Bible like that? I think they call it the expandable version. And it went something like this. The only reason for a thing to be hidden is for it to be revealed. Whoa, I said, wait, hold it just a minute. And I began to think of, you know, when you think of one fact, you sort of think of, well, that might mean that, you understand what I mean? That might mean that the only reason for there to be a sickness is for there to be a healing. The only reason for there to be an expectation is to have that expectation met. The only reason to have a pain is to get over it. Are you with me? That's kind of good news to me. How'd you like that song? Coming after me. I just got the feeling something was coming after me. And it's good. Well, I'll tell you who this message is for today. It is for those who ever have, or ever will, or are being right now, impressed with the fact that there is something very crucial that you have a need of that you don't have enough of. So get ready. Just get ready. Now, is there anybody who doesn't fit in that? We're going to let you preach. Now, I would say what I just said, but I'd never said it before, and I probably couldn't think of it again. But let me try to say it. This is for those who ever have or ever will or are being right now impressed that there is something you need that you don't have enough of. And I want you to know that there is a passage of Scripture that absolutely slam dunk right in your face tells you what to do about it. Are you interested?
Yes.
How interested? What time do you generally get through? Are you interested enough to let me, well, no, I'm going to do it anyway. I don't get to do this often, and you'd be interested to know that I invited myself today, which means I come with no charge, no expectation. I come to give you something. We'll be here again sometime next spring, and we'll have a wonderful time. But I want to. Can we have the scripture that I asked to be put up here? And this is it. I just want you to let me read this to you, and you, without vocally reading it with me. Oh, how great are riches, God's riches in wisdom and knowledge. How impossible it is for us to understand His decisions and His ways. For who can know the Lord's thoughts? Who knows enough to give Him advice, and who has given Him so much that He needs to pay it back? For everything comes from Him and exists by His power and is intended for His glory. All glory to Him forever. Amen. Now that is one of those consummate passages of Scripture. When you find one of those, you need to commit it to memory. Now that I've committed it to memory, but that's another version. And let me just give you I live in this, and great are You, Lord, and greatly to be praised. Your riches are unsearchable. Your ways are past tracing out. No man has given so much to You that he expects something back. But then this fact, everything is from You, to You, and through You. You deserve all the glory. Amen. Now, that's a sort of a cover all. The passage I'm now going to get, if you don't mind, give the New King James version of that, because I'm going to quote it to you, because it's life-changing, and I'm going to break it down for you, and then I'm going to show you how to cash in on it before you leave. You can get what you need before you leave. Promise. When God says, if you will, I will, what He means is, I'll do it now. I'll do it immediately. Isn't that exciting? Do you know how long it'd take God to save you if you came to Him, say, Lord, I'm a sinner. I've never trusted Christ as Savior. And I say yes to You right now. You know how long it'd take Him to save you? Bah! Just like that. Less than a breath. And by the way, if you're there, in that situation, you don't have to wait till I'm through. You don't have to be lost another 30 minutes while I try to get through. You get saved right now. Just say Jesus. Hey, go ahead and say it, everybody. Jesus. Okay, some of you said for the first time, leaning on him or toward him as Savior, and he saved you. There sat a leader among the Muslims in an office of a friend of mine. He speaks to 30 million Muslims every week. He is their chief theologian. Without any prior preaching, sitting in the office of my friend, he called on the name of Jesus. No, that couldn't happen. No. And you're going to hear about it. And that's how quick it can take place. And by the way, whatever else you need, that's the greatest thing anybody needs. And anything this side of it, you can get before you leave. You know, I don't have to worry about it. I don't have to plead for it. No. When God says, if you will, I will, he will. And he's waiting on your will. Isn't that wonderful? All right, let's look at this one. This is found, oh, by the way, that is up there and it needs to go. And we need to go to 2 Corinthians 9:8. I want you to read that one with me. And God will generously provide all you need. Then you will always have everything you need and plenty left over to share with others. Have you ever heard anything like that in your life? Now let me give you how I learned it, and that's how I'll preach from it. And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that you always may have everything you need, that you may be totally sufficient to every good work. I'm going to help you remember that because you need to. You need to memorize it in your favorite translation. And I have a new favorite translation about every 3 or 4 weeks. And fall back on the King James and the NIV and the Christian Standard Bible and so on. But read the word and memorize the word. Now, I'm going to give you about 5 points, I think it is, 5 or 6. And then I'm going to rear back and preach to you. Is that all right? Okay. We're talking about a life that is an adventure in abundance. Every person in this room today is haunted by the fact that every day you wake up to face an area in your life of haunting deficiency, lack. I don't have something I'd love to have. And we spend our lives almost weeping over it, if not sad. That's what takes place in depression. I don't have something I need and I want it and I must have it and I don't have it. So I can whisper to you without mocking you, get over it. You say, well, you wouldn't mock me, would you? No, because that's a compliment I'm paying you. You can get over it. You say, but you don't know how long I've suffered like this. Don't care. Oh, I don't mean I don't care. It means don't make no difference. Understand? Okay. Same. Now, that's good news. Hear it again. We're talking about a cycle of sufficiency. Are you tired of living in the dragging path of not quite enough? You can move today from the haunting path, the meaningless circular movement. I just don't have all I need. I live with that. Sometimes it's money, but that's just a sign of all the rest. But you can have all. Say it with me. Cycle of sufficiency. All right? And then there's the circle of absolute boredom over not having enough. Okay. Now, which do you choose? The first or the last? Yeah, would you? Okay. I'm going to tell you how to take advantage of it today, and you'll leave different. Okay? God is able. Now, that is the might, the power, the dynamite behind this adventure in abundance. God's ability, absolutely unlimited. I was just talking to my friends back there this morning. I said, you know, God can do anything about anything. I can't do anything about anything. And the only reason I should exist like that is to recognize that I can get in business immediately with a God who has everything. And by the way, God can he can do everything about anything. That's our God. So what we're talking about, the bank we go to, the premise we propose, God is able. Am I hearing things? I just felt the power in the atmosphere. Phew. Okay. That's all right. That's a good sound. Just something out there that's... Yeah. I've got a pacemaker. Pray it don't go off, you know. Has yours ever fired? If you can't answer it immediately, it hasn't, I tell you for sure. Okay, just say it. God's ability. How much ability does God have? All right. All doesn't mean very much because you've never been there. But what it does mean is you can't think beyond the ability of God about any needs you have. God is able to do anything he needs to do to make you what you want to be, what he wants you to be, and what you should be. Got it? God is able. I live there. I'll speak on until I get some agreement from you. God is able. There's not anything God can't do, not anything God won't do, because he loves you. But he does wait until you line up with his desire. And often it's just coming to the place where he said, God, I believe you. Up here, I believe you. But most of us don't go beyond that. We just say, yep, that's true. Yep, that's true. Next week, we live just like we were before we said that's true. But we've never come to get it out of our mind, into our hearts, to our wills. Now, let me tell you, between knowing a fact and employing that fact to change your life is a little catch called repentance. And I know what you were thinking, right? Oh, I knew there was something. We have given repentance a bad name. Let me tell you what it means. It simply means to change the way you think when you get evidence to the contrary of what you now believe. So everybody here needs to repent. There's more to God than you think. You're a whole lot smarter than you think you are in most cases. Some people are not near as smart as they think they are. And how you get smart is to think you're not. And tune into his, and then you'll be wise and smart and all the rest. Okay? Okay, are we enough settled where I can go on with the next point? God is able? God's ability is the might of it. It's what's behind it. I don't have to. I can't out-promise God's potential. When I tell you God can do something, God can do it, and God can do it right now. And it's going to make a difference in your life, and that's what excites me. It's the reason I woke up 4:30 this morning with excitement about, hey, you've told me something that runs the potential of changing the life of every person in that building today. And I don't care what you need. And he's going to meet you at a point where you won't have to worry about the rest of the points, because the point at which he will meet you is so great that all the rest are less than, and you just wait for the proper time when God brings them to revelation, because he changed them when you said yes to him. Okay. Now, that's the might of it, God's ability. God is able to make all grace. Now, here we go. If God's might, God's ability is the might of it, the weight of it, the power of it, then all grace is the measure of it. Now, what is grace? Grace, it's not complicated. Listen to this. Grace is the enabling power of God. God graces you with his abilities. And so once you see God as the God who is able, he gives you the grace to be able in his ability. Are you listening? That's what gave Paul the right to say, I can do a few things. Excuse me, what? How? Through Christ, who continues to pour his ability in me. 4:19, Philippians. Philippians 4:19. God, listen, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. It's not that I can do all things because I'm so great. I can do all things because I've believed in his strength, and his strength has gotten together with my weakness, and that works. Do you remember when Paul had that terrible experience and for days and days and days prayed, oh God, I feel so weak. I feel so weak. I can't do anything. I'm just depressed over my weakness. And God said, well, that's strange. You know, my strength fits your weakness. In fact, my strength is perfected in your weakness. How many of you are weak? Okay, well, bless all of you strong people. You need to get weak so you and God can get together. Your strength may be your greatest weakness, because it shuts out God's strength. Are you with me? You're having a little money may keep you from getting more money, because the money you have has kept you from God. And when you get with God and he begins to enrich you, there's no place to stop, because he's making out of you a giving miracle. And you will walk into radical generosity. That's what it's all about. So Paul prayed for three times at least, and that probably could mean a dozen times. But finally God said, Paul, I've given you everything you need. I've given you my grace, and that's sufficient. Besides all that, my strength is made perfect in your weakness. Celebrate your weakness. You can tell God, I can't, but you never said I could. You can, and you always said you would. That's the gospel. That's the good news, okay? Now, we're getting there. So the second thing is, all grace is the measure of it. This cycle of all grace. How much grace did God give you when he gives you his grace? All his grace. You will never reach the end of God's grace. You will never outspend the potential of grace that God has for you. He loves you. He's provided for you completely. But when you are set on providing for yourself while God goes begging for your time and love and loyalty, you keep him from providing at his level, and all you're trying to give wealth to yourself will mean one day it can be taken away, because nothing you make for yourself can't be taken away. But that it can be taken away. Only what God gives you can't be taken away. All right, you're doing good. You're doing good. We are about one-third from being through. Two-thirds from being through. One-third through. Okay, say it with me. God's ability is the might of this adventure in abundance. Secondly, all grace is the measure of this tremendous abundance, this cycle of sufficiency. Okay, all right. Now, look at it again. God is able to make all grace abound. What are the next two words? Toward you. I love that song. It really got the best of me. I pulled out my song to my phone to record it about the time it quit. But I want the words of it. Please don't let me go away this morning without the words of that song, and I'll put tunes to it myself. But I can't remember. It's coming for you. You will have to listen to me. If God does not get to you with His blessings, it'll be because you've used broken field running from Him, dodging. You'll have to spend your life dodging it to miss it. In other words, there's no mountain He won't climb. There's no lie He won't tear down. There's nothing He won't do to get rid of to get to you. And that's what He's trying to do today. Okay? Are you with me? I'm looking at you and seeing. I know. I'm just really excited. Okay. God's ability is the might of it. All grace is the measure of it. Toward you is the motion of it. Listen to me. Everything God has done, everything God is doing, and everything God will do has in mind your betterment. Jesus died for you. He was resurrected for you. He was sent and wants to live in you and living in you and mastering you. He'll make you everything you wanted ever to be in your wildest dreams. It is moving toward you right now. That grace is motioning toward you. A river of grace waits. And all you need to do is step over in it. Step over it. Now, the next thing is this. Your total sufficiency. That's what He's after. He said, wait a minute. You mean God wants me to have everything I need? Yeah. Everything you've ever wanted in Him. In fact, it's yours already and waits on your faith to believe it is yours. See, salvation, I was saved at 10. Salvation had been mine all my life up until then. All I need to do is just say, well, it was for me you died for, Jesus, right? Yeah. Well, I take you as my Savior. Good. I've been there all along waiting for you to say yes. And the minute I said yes, I was saved forever. So, your total sufficiency is the means of it. You see, God wants you to go away from here today totally sufficient. But don't get proud about it, because that sufficiency is seated in Him and your relationship with Him. Okay? God is able to make all grace abound toward you. That, the means, that you always having sufficiency, all sufficiency in all things. I was impressed when I read that passage to begin with. Did you notice how many times the ultimate God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that you always having all sufficiency in all things. may abound. Fantastic. To every good work. Okay, now, your total sufficiency is yours. I grew up in the country. I'm a country boy. For 7 years, I was the baby of the family until my little sister came along and saved me. But I was in a position to really develop an inferiority complex. A country kid, dumb, didn't know from nothing, didn't care about much, had no issue of self-value. And we lived so far back in the country, we hunted toward town. I mean, I skipped a grade to because we added the 12th grade to the school. That's how old I am, 11 grades to 12. And our basketball team, I was on the basketball team. There wasn't but six able-bodied boys in high school. And every one of them was on the team, even a boy that was crippled. And I mean, we had to have at least, you know, one or two to substitute if we fouled out. And our best year, hey, this will get you. Our best year, we won 3 and lost 27. That'll work on your pride. And so I had the best inferiority complex, the most well-documented inferiority complex in my county that I knew of. I was nothing. And I used to mourn about that. You know what Jack means? Somebody tell me what Jack means. Nothing. You don't know Jack. I didn't wake up to that several years ago, and I thought, I'm not sure I like that name. Jack, that's my name. And then I got to dealing with it. I said, wow, you know, that's really what I am without God. Nothing. But in God, I'm reminded that nothing is where I started, and I haven't been there since I've known him. I'm kind of excited about the name. Hi, my name is Jack. Means nothing. That's what I used to be, nothing. When I got in business with him, I became everything I'd ever wanted to be and most of what I never dreamed I could be. Wow. Are you liking this?
Yes.
Well, I am too, so just get set and stay a while. Okay, we're getting to the end now. But soon, not immediately. That you, always having all sufficiency. How would you like to get there? Okay, here is the key. If you have in mind stopping there, just forget it all. Because God never meets your need just to meet your need. He always has a purpose that in meeting your need, he can meet the needs of others. If he can find a person who will give what he has at the drop of a hat and drop the hat himself, there is no limit to what he will give you. In fact, a while back, God said to me, if you'll act wealthy in your giving, I will make you wealthy. And he's doing that. I don't know how. It's just there. I don't have any streams of income. I haven't made a salary in 40-some years. Don't have to make too much money. I couldn't afford a salary. I gave it up when I was pastor at Castle Hills. I think it's around Easter Sunday. I just gave it up. No paycheck from here on. Second year after that, the pastor, you know, gets to look at the giving records so he can pray for people. And I found out that that year, our family was the second largest giver in the church. Because God just opened the heavens, and I more than tithed. Try it. You'll like it. Okay, here's the thing. God is able to make all grace. God's ability is the might of it. All grace, the measure of it. Abounding is the manner of it. Always enough. Toward you is the motion of it. Your total sufficiency is the means of it. Every good work is the ministry of it. Now, do you notice? The victory is in the cycle, starting with God's ability, moving to grace abounding, moving toward you, that you might have all sufficiency in all things and thus be effective to give to every good work. And the cycle continues. Do you see this? And the church, this church. That's God's plan. God's ability. What if in the preaching of the gospel we could give people a revelation, a picture, an illustration, a demonstration of a God who loves us so much that he gives us himself and puts us in a position of having all that he has at our access until we never have to say no to any good work. And I'm getting there. I invite you to come along with me. So here we go. Unto every good work. I don't see much in... I didn't get a chance to give what I'm going to give. And so I want you to give with me in a little bit. I'd like for everybody to give. You say, well, I didn't plan to give anything. Well, change your mind. Yeah, just give something. If you don't have anything to give, just take something off and drop it in. Can't do this, my wife would get a hold of me. But I want you to, what you do is to give something, even if it's a penny, to say to God, I believe what this preacher said, and I'm going to try it. Now hear it again. I pray for light to come on you as I quote it. God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that you always, having all sufficiency in every good work, and the cycle continues. Look at me and let me ask you, are you living in that cycle? If you are, you know that you can step it up and increase the cycle, increase the joy, increase. Everything you do for God can be increased. The kingdom is ever increasing. Of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end. Now, let me give you three things I really want you to do. And I'm giving you this because I'm learning to do it. The first threshold that this message has to cross is the message of your mind. And you're sitting saying that, yeah, I know where he's going. He's going to talk about money. I've just mentioned money, but that has only to do with everything. Not just money. And may I say, if you're having a shortage in money, ask God what the need is there for. Just say, God, what? Give, and it shall be given you, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, shall men dump into your lap, for with the measure you give, it will be given to you again. Could that be the reason? Well, I just don't have anything to give. Could it be that you don't have anything to give because when you had something to give, you didn't give it, and now you can't afford to give anything? Just try to get the thing going. I don't know whether you've lived long enough to know that these little pumps that every once in a while you see somewhere, you can walk up to one and start pumping and pump all day. But standing by the side is a little can of water or cup of water. What's that cup for? Prime the pump. I don't know that I can explain it. That's all right. You don't get in a big hurry. Just run over me with it. It's fine. You take the priming water and you pour it into the pump. And you start pumping and you hear something besides steel against steel. And the next thing you know, there comes a stream of pure water. That's priming the pump. This is what we call priming the pump. Give and it shall be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over. That's how it works, folks. It's just not anything magical or mystical. It just, that's the way it works. Every good work is the ministry of it. I've spent this week, more time this week, because I pray over this city. I was in this city. It's a part of my inheritance. I'm sensitive about San Antonio, Texas. When I was here, it was 250,000 people. Now I understand it's upwards of 2 million. Rapidly becoming one of the great cities of the nation. Great cities of the world. You are a part of the inheritance of God in San Antonio, Texas. The whole area. I
just don't have very much, preacher. You get toward living from paycheck to paycheck. And I'm retired. I'm on a fixed income.
Look at me. If you're on a fixed income, honey, you fixed it. If you let your giving match what you feel you can afford, I need to give you a little poem. The bride, bent with age, leaned over her cane. Her steps uncertain need guiding. While down the church aisle with a wan, toothless smile, the groom in a wheelchair came gliding. And who is this elderly couple thus wed? You find when you've closely explored it that this is that rare, most conservative pair who waited till they could afford it. Are you waiting to give until you can afford it? You'll die in poverty. You start giving like you want to, and God will activate heaven to more than come to your rescue and make you a radical, generous giver. I understand the church is going through a little dip in their economics. That's over, folks. As of today, it's over. There are enough people here to settle that today. This is your inheritance. This is where you get fed. This is where God expects. I don't deal much with the tithe. Dear Lord, imagine this. I mean, God expects less of you from than the government. And then you fuss about that.
Well, I just think that's too much. I already have bills and I get them paid. I just give God what's left, and that's nothing.
Stop it. Just forget the tithe and say, God, I want you to order my giving according to what you really want to give me. I said that one year, and the next year I was by the same church, and they told me about a man who heard me say that. I dare you to give. Start giving right now according to what you'd like to make in your salary next year. He was a real estate man. And so he wanted to make at least a $250,000. And he started giving a tithe on $250,000. And when I came back to preach that year end, he wasn't there. But somebody told me about it and said for him, he said, He told me to tell you that he took your dare and he's ahead of it right now. God touched his business. You say, well, yeah, but I'm on a salary and I don't expect. That's it. You don't expect. You see, you start doing God's way and God will come through. Surprisingly, shockingly, stunningly. And that's what I'm saying. Now, I could challenge you. I mean, if the pastor won't take an offering for my ministry, I'd just say, yep, not this one. So whatever you would give to God. Just say, God, this is my yes to your offer. This is my I'm in, Lord. I'm in. And I want to tell you, if you'll keep this in mind, from now on, I promise you, God will come through. Now, what you might want to do, and I really don't care what we do, but what I'd like to suggest and give you an opportunity to do is just to say yes to him. Look at me and say, did this make sense to you? Yes. Okay. Now, this means yes. This means no. This means yeah. So do one or the other. Say, it makes sense to me. Or, yeah. And then do something about it. You don't have to. You don't have to do it here. I think it'd be nice just as a testimony. In the process, as there is movement, this is what I'm after. Mind, engagement, movement. Okay? In your mind, I've given you a rule of Scripture, axiomatic, central. I mean, is this a little promise or what? No, it's big. God's able to make all grace abound toward you, that you always having all sufficiency in all things may abound to every good work. God wants to include you in on his big deal. When God could run this outfit, folks, he knows where the gold is, where the silver, where the diamonds, where all of the untapped resources of his entire universe are. He knows where they are, yet he counts you in as one of his, gives you stock in the company, makes you an heir of his eternal inheritance, and puts you on Blessing Street. Okay, now what shall I say to close this message? Amen. Now let me give it points. You can just keep doing this. It's all right. If you're not a Christian, I don't want you to embarrass yourself or even be threatened by what I'm about to say. You can be saved before you walk out that door and not move one muscle. You just say yes to the Jesus Christ who died for you. Look at me. You can never outlive the fact that you've been died for. You may not even believe it. You may not even believe God exists. But it doesn't change the fact that a person came in history named Jesus Christ, who was the Son of God, who was given of God for your sin and died for your sin and was risen for your justification. You can't ever live that down. You can't ever live like it didn't happen. And you can say yes to him. I'd like some report of that before you leave. Or at least let us know somehow. It's been so good to preach to you. And I love this church. I love your pastor. I see growth in all of you. And I come and I sense the Spirit of God. I see a city that is your inheritance. I'm talking about the whole metropolitan area. Yeah. I want to give you this word. The greatest things we will learn in the future will lie just beneath the surface of that which we thought we knew enough about not to have to know anymore. And we stopped learning. God is speaking. Listen to me. Man shall not live by bread alone. You said, well, I'm doing pretty good. You may be doing pretty good in the stats, but your heart is dead to joy if you haven't found it in God. And man shall not live by bread alone. That is a historical fact. But by every word. Help me finish that. That proceeds from the mouth of God. Not by just words that God once said. But the value of what God's word once said is that God is still speaking what God once said, and what he said is dead until given life by your obedience, and he does it before your very eyes. All the promises you need are right there. All of the blessings of God are at your disposal right here. He is speaking his word to you. He's taken this today and applied it to your heart, and you're feeling it right now, and you're saying, you're looking at your wife or your husband, you're saying, you know, we need to do some stuff at this point. We need to start living in the plenty of God. I could spend the rest of the week and another week telling you of the blessings accrued in this area. I have a book on it. We'll bring it with me when we come next time on true wealth, the miraculous, God's miraculous plan of economy. And so I want to pray for you, all of you who are in, and I want you to be in. And so if you want to do this or do it on the way out, what if you want to stand up with me? I want your altar workers to come and stand here in front of me, and they'll be available to you. Now, here's the value. If you're coming, what you're doing is you're giving feet to your intentions. You're giving a walk to the word you've received. It may be just to say to somebody, I'm deciding something today, and I need you just to pray with me to lock it in the mouth of two or three witnesses. It's affected. You may need to come. I'll be here and to say, I just need Jesus. I need Jesus. And I take him today. Don't listen. Jesus died for you. He's done everything for you he can do. The next move is up to you. Don't wait till you get better. It'll never happen until you move toward him. Why do you wait? So just come to him. These are here. And I'm going to give what I give. And that's none of your business. And so I'm going to pray for you. I would like to hear the words. I'm in.
Amen.
I'd like to hear them again. I'm in.
Amen.
God, you heard. Let us blessedly, beginning right now, find out what it means to be in. Open the windows of heaven and pour out blessings that it's impossible for us to receive. We simply have to give it away or be covered up by it. Hallelujah. So, Lord, right now, bless people who will be coming to give their offering, coming for prayer, coming to say yes to Jesus. Just right now, if we can have some background music or whatever. Yeah. Lord, in the name of Jesus right now, I pray over every person here who's heard this word. I thank you for their kind reception.
I thank you for their reasoning right now. You've given us minds with which to reason. But you've given us minds with which also to decide. So let mind decisions be a yes to you, and our movement in obedience have your way. I pray that you'd make this one of the best days, just in one thing, but of course in all the others. I pray that you just let it be a sweet day of giving and receiving, a sweet day of new hope, of having debts paid off sooner than expected, gifts unexpected, checks in the mail, ways of generating revenue, a new attitude toward money. Don't have enough of it, need more. God, cover us over and teach us how to give as you give in an unlimited manner. Bless families that have bills that are not paid, living below their expectation, generating more expenses than so far generating income. Those who are without jobs, give them jobs. Lord, let this be a work, a week of miracles. Give and it shall be given to you, you promised. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, shall men dump into your lap. Let it happen, Lord. Let kingdom sightings happen to everybody here. Thank you for what you're doing in the world. Thank you that though many times we feel like the devil seems to be winning, God is at work in all the world. And one glad day, the angel will step out and say, the kingdoms of this world have become the kingdom of our God and his Christ, and we will reign with him, reigning forever and ever and ever over the limitless expanses of the universe. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for today. Thank you for celebration. Thank you for life. In Jesus' name.